This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and the Federal Reserve keeping interest rates steady and watching key data on the economy. ABC's Brian Clark with more.
The Federal Reserve left interest rates unchanged as expected, but still believes they will go down by half a percentage point this year. That would likely mean 2 quarter-point cuts. The Fed's Open Market Committee did note uncertainty as it reduced projected growth this year while increasing expectations for inflation.
The White House says the meeting between President Trump and Ukraine's President Zelensky was good and centered on ways to find agreement after Russia's leader agreed to a 30-day pause to attack Ukraine's infrastructure. Pope Francis has been hospitalized for 34 days now in Rome. Doctors today say that infections, including the bilateral pneumonia, is under control but not eliminated yet. They also say his blood values are within the normal range and he is fever-free. The Vatican says there's no decision on when he will be discharged. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. A storm system impacts Wisconsin today with snow, wind, and even thunderstorms possible. With more, here's Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Thunderstorms are possible in southwestern areas of Wisconsin on Wednesday morning. Areas from La Crosse to Milwaukee and south are in a marginal risk for them to be severe. Hail and high winds are the main risks, with over a half an inch of rainfall expected too. Plus, power outages are possible as winds gust up to 45 miles per hour. And beware, when the rain flips to snow, streets will quickly become slippery.
Here in La Crosse, we'll see a little bit of everything, including accumulating snow. A winter weather advisory is in effect today. A town hall event in Vernon County was well attended, but not by the congressman that event organizers had invited to show up. The group holding the town hall in Viroqua, Concerned Citizens of Vernon County, organized the event out of frustration that Republican Derek Van Orden was not meeting with constituents. Democratic Congressman Mark Pocan attended and took questions from voters instead. Van Orden said that George Soros-funded agitators are the reason he is not doing in-person events, including the one in Viroqua. A Quick Trip employee was stabbed to death in Minnesota yesterday morning. According to a release by the company, the 34-year-old man was killed just after 3 a.m. Tuesday at a store in Mankato. Quick Trip CEO Scott Zeitlow said that, quote, "This is a devastating loss for all of us, and our thoughts and prayers are with his family and friends." Mankato police announced that they made an arrest, 28-year-old Michael Miller, and that they are recommending second-degree murder charges against him. This is the final week of the winter high school sports season, capped off by the state boys basketball championships in Madison. Aquinas and Cochran-Fountain City made it to the state tournament this week, with Aquinas playing defending champion Mineral Point tomorrow night in Division 4, and Cochran-Fountain City playing Turtle Lake Friday morning in D5. The boys basketball state championships are being played at the Kohl Center in Madison. Title games are on Saturday. Download the free Civic Media app now at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Badgers land in Denver. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team landed in Denver to get ready for tomorrow's game against Montana. In their opening round of the NCAA tournament, head coach Greg Gard on how they looked in practice preparing for March Madness.
The juice we had today in practice, they understand. You turn the page, we learn from it, we know. Even if we won on Sunday, it doesn't change, right, what we have to do going forward.
NBA, the Bucks with another loss, 104-93 to Golden State. Milwaukee has struggled on offense now for the past week. Doc Rivers.
It's everything. We're missing shots, too, but we don't have the right space, and the ball's not moving. We're not attacking. We're not getting to the paint. I got a whole list, you know, but we got to do it. And I got to get them to do it. That's my job.
NFL, the Packers signed a free agent wide receiver. Mecole Hardman earned 3 Super Bowl rings in his time with the Kansas City Chiefs. He's agreed to a 1-year deal with Green Bay. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
A winter weather advisory is in effect this afternoon as rain mixes with sleet and flips to all snow. It could be heavy at times with winds whipping up to 45 miles per hour, creating whiteout conditions and power outages possible. And about 2 to 4 inches of snow accumulation looks likely. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 33 at our studios.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
L.A. Tom, L.A., what do you got for us?
We do have a woman problem in this country. There is an issue there that needs to be solved if we are ever to have a female president.
Look at Mexico has a president. You know, Margaret Thatcher. It's just all over the world.
You have to remember Margaret Thatcher. They had queens.
We have Lindsey Graham. Come on.
Wow, that's true.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Child abuse is not a bad parent problem.
And the causes may be different than you think.
You see, paid family leave.
That prevents child abuse.
And high quality, affordable child care.
Prevents child abuse too.
Prevent Child Abuse America promotes programs and resources informed by science that help communities, parents, and kids thrive.
Because when we keep families out of crisis,
we prevent child abuse
from ever happening.
Go to preventchildabuse.org to learn more.
Let's solve child abuse before it ever happens.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, Matt Rothschild and I will talk with the executive director of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Plus, is an angry base a motivated base? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX. Lacrosse is home for Matt and Air on Air.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Hump Day. We're almost done with this week. We've got a packed show for you today. Incredible developments continue to unfold in the Trump administration's standoff with the judiciary. There's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But I'm so happy to have an expert with me to kick this show off to help us understand what this means here at home. She is the executive director of the ACLU Wisconsin. Her name is Dr. Melinda Brennan. It's a pleasure to have you back on the show. Thanks for making time.
Thanks for having me back, Maggie. I'm glad to be here.
Let's start with, I think, the question. Why should someone who voted for Donald Trump and supports Donald Trump in the state of Wisconsin care about the civil rights and due process for people that are here illegally?
Well, there's a whole bunch of pieces of that puzzle there. Okay, so let's start with Wisconsin. Democracy doesn't just exist at the federal level. We are not just living in the United States. We are also living, for example, in Wisconsin. These are your neighbors. These are your friends. These are folks that are contributing to your local economy. I know folks across the ideological spectrum that whether they care about human rights or they care about economics, the economics of Wisconsin are significantly dependent on folks that were not necessarily born in the United States across a variety of statuses. And so agriculture is an incredibly important component of Wisconsin economics. And so I would hope folks would care about their neighbors and their friends and their kids' classmates and recognize their humanity and their dignity and refuse to accept that any of us could be disappeared overnight, whether it's for a status without due process or for whatever our beliefs are ideologically. And so, number one, I would hope that everybody would want their due process. Number two, I would hope people would respect each other's human dignity. And number three, I would hope that we would want the very best outcome for our schools, our communities, our families, and everybody that's involved. And that means not destroying our economy while also not destroying families.
To that point, Dr. Brennan, according to a recent study by the University of Wisconsin-Madison, an estimated 70,000 undocumented immigrants live in the state of Wisconsin, 47,000 of whom are employed in the dairy and farming industry. It would basically be an industry crippler. These undocumented workers perform about 70% of the labor on Wisconsin's dairy farms. In manufacturing, we've got approximately 11,000 undocumented workers. In professional management, administrative, and waste management services, an estimated 8,000 workers. Food services and entertainment, 5,000. Construction, 5,000. Agriculture, 5,000. We don't have the workers to replace these people, do we?
No, we do not. And you and I are reading the same stuff, Maggie. And I'm sure that not only this study that you're talking about, but I'm sure that you've seen the year over year and decade over decade studies about brain drain in Wisconsin.
Yes.
We can't keep folks that are born and raised in Wisconsin here because there are enough opportunities for them to make a livable life where they can imagine a future here. So then the thought process is to what? Pull the bottom out of an entire industry, pull huge chunks out of various towns and villages and cities across the state to undermine an industry that we're known for statewide, to what, skyrocket the costs of staples. I can't understand it economically. I can't understand it from an industry perspective. I can't understand it from a humanity perspective. I can't understand it from a due process perspective. I wish I could find the logic in there, but this should be an issue that everybody cares about across the ideological spectrum, because we're talking about pulling apart the society we know and depend on.
Just a couple more facts on that. I often hear that undocumented people don't pay taxes. Well, that's garbage. Again, from the University of Wisconsin-Madison, in 2018, undocumented immigrants in Wisconsin paid an estimated $157 million in federal taxes. These are Wisconsin residents. $157 million in federal taxes just from Wisconsin undocumented immigrants. And $101 million in state and local taxes, for a total of $250 million in taxes collected in a single year from undocumented immigrants that are residents of the state of Wisconsin. That's according to the American Immigration Council. That estimate is around $245 million in federal, state, and local taxes as of 2022. By the way, I haven't even talked about elder care and child care and domestic help.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. We think these things are expensive, hard to secure now. Imagine if you take a big chunk of the workforce away. Boy, it's going to really break the backs of the middle class. I also frequently, Melinda, get this comment, which I have to correct every time. Okay. Undocumented immigrants do not have any rights under the Constitution.
Not accurate.
Not true.
I don't know what leads people to believe that there are haves and have nots for our basic rights, but there are rights that if you are here, you have access to them. And I think if you want me to be honest, when people make a comment like that, that I'm very glad to know and not surprised at all that you counter on the regular. I think it
yesterday,
is
that it, yesterday, in fact,
it could be hourly, Maggie, if we're going to be honest with each other. And I wish it weren't so, but I think that connection between whether or not you look into somebody else's face and you see a human there, I think that correlates very directly to whether or not you believe somebody else has any rights at all. I think those two things are deeply connected, and just take a little bit of humanity in yourself to give yourself the oomph to get educated and not say inaccurate things on the regular.
Well, that brings me to the point about rhetoric and understanding the relationship between the rhetoric of hate and dehumanization and vermin and poisoning the blood, which has always been the rhetoric throughout history that is employed by despots, dictators, and fascists. Why? Because it allows the people who are the haves to look at the have-nots not as my neighbors, my coworkers, the person that might be taking care of my mother in a nursing home, but as inhuman, lesser than them. Here, where that rhetoric is being employed by Donald Trump and his minions on the daily, but the additional allegation, which you also see in every fascist dictatorship in history, is that these are criminals.
Yes.
Right. And that they pose a daily ongoing threat to people's safety. I was wondering, Melinda, if you could comment on how do we start to counter the description of folks as a monolith? And I think there was a breakthrough moment in local reporting this week, coming from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, talking about a man and his partner who came from Laos at 8 months old, has never spent another minute in the country, doesn't speak the language, who has been deported there. Is it through that, through the individual stories, by putting the human, the very human condition front and center for people to see? Is that how we counter this? Are people, are, is a Trump voter ever going to hear, hey, when they strip away the due process rights of an undocumented immigrant, it's not far from them stripping your due process rights away?
I think, if you want me to be honest, I don't think anybody across the ideological spectrum doesn't have some deep soul searching to do right now. And that's not an artful dodge from the person who's heading up a nonpartisan organization. That's actually what I believe. If you can't or are unwilling to put yourself under the conditions that somebody else might be put under, do you think that you're going to constantly be at threat for some surveillance from the federal government, as an example of it? Do you think that your due process rights will not be respected and that you will not have access to an attorney? Will you just disappear from where you have been? Do you believe that the rule of law actually exists and that the constitutional powers and their separations will be respected? These are not esoteric, nerdy concepts that are inaccessible to everybody here. And when I say everybody here, I mean across immigration status. If you are currently in the United States right now, today, this second, if you can hear my voice now or in the future, you are a person who needs to take stock of what do you want your future to look like. And it isn't about political party, and it isn't about a particular candidate. It is about a vision of the future that you commit yourself to. And I know that we're going to get to it, but I will just say this, and I said at the top, democracy does not just exist at the federal level. That also exists at the state level. And I know we'll talk about it more, but the state Supreme Court right now, this is a way for people to be engaged, to make their voices heard in a material way. I don't care how fatigued you are. I don't care. I think it's incredibly important that people get out and vote. I think it's incredibly important that people do not sit it out. I think it's incredibly important that people think about their neighbors as human beings and people who are different from them. I think it's incredibly important that people get factual information that they can prove. I think it's really important that people talk to each other across difference. And the worst thing that everybody could do right now is to retreat into whatever communities you belong to and only talk within them, and to only see things through one lens. That is not the place that we are right now. Most of the country has an awful lot of things in common, and it should be about preserving the rights that we all depend on. And that isn't a partisan issue, and it shouldn't be. And so people should be taking stock of how they want to operate in this moment and what they're going to do to ensure the future that is a livable one for them and everybody else that they encounter.
Dr. Brennan of the ACLU Wisconsin, their executive director, you just teased the very next question I had for you, which is, why are civil rights nonpartisan issues? Why does the rule of law matter, even where we seek to evolve the law, reform it, and do better? And what does it matter to the folks that are listening? We've been talking about that a bit, but I want to talk about the very nature of the ACLU as a nonpartisan entity and what that means for regular Wisconsinites. All that coming up right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. We got Dr. Melinda Brennan of the ACLU Wisconsin. Will they be coming for you in the middle of the night?
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a three-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and, in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
Did you know there's a city in Wisconsin that goes all in on the idea of celebrating St. Patrick's Day for more than a week? Members of the Shamrock Club of New London, about an hour west of Green Bay, lead the festivities, which brings thousands of visitors to the area. But do you know what has officially kicked it all off for more than 40 years? Here's club member Ryan Lanning with the answer.
The Monday of our St. Patrick's week is, we always have Leprechaun Day, and the leprechauns are responsible for changing the population signs symbolically from New London to New Dublin, and then they visit various schools and nursing homes, and we bring smiles more than anything, and we like to enlighten our community. That's part of what we're about, and truthfully, I think everybody looks forward to seeing us, seeing the green suits and all the mischief and shenanigans we like to pull. It's just a great time for everybody.
Even the city council votes to make New Dublin the official name for New London this time of year. That is one slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We've got Dr. Melinda Brennan, the Executive Director of the ACLU of Wisconsin, joining us for this first half an hour. Before the break, Melinda, I asked you, why is the ACLU nonpartisan? Why do civil rights, particularly the civil rights, and let's set aside all of the undocumented immigrants that do work, that take care of our kids and our grandparents. And let's talk about why are civil rights, one, nonpartisan? Why is that not an issue of political party? And secondly, why should someone care that the civil rights, that due process, has been stripped from someone who is a gang member or, my goodness, even a terrorist? Why does this still matter?
So you serve me up the really big existential questions, Maggie. Happy to answer them. The reality is, you're next.
Yes.
You want me to put it on a plate and be explicit and honest in this particular moment when we are watching fascism and intolerance that threatens human life? And I think that can't be argued if you're basing your read on facts. If that is the case, then expect anything that is done to somebody else to be done to you. Do you want due process for yourself? If you were accused of something, would you want your due process? Would you want access to an attorney? Would you want your family to know where you were? Would you want to be able to answer about what you have or haven't done? Would you want what you grew up believing to be the criminal justice system? And I have critiques for that as well. Would you want to believe that the rights that you believed you had, you actually did when you went to go and use them? And the reality is that the ACLU will hold anybody who is elected accountable as necessary. So we have to be nonpartisan. People all across the ideological spectrum have to do more and better all the time. And we have to have the freedom to do that, one. Two, I think everything, all of the work, at least in my vision of the work and my team's vision of the work, goes back to quality of life, human dignity, basic needs. If you can't live a quality life, if you can't access the rights that you expected to have, if you don't have healthcare, if you don't have a quality education, if you can't imagine a future, if you can't build something in your community, then what are you living for? And part of that is the structure that you live in. And so is it more fair all the time, more equitable all the time? And so, yes, somebody can be accused of a crime, but do you expect to have the same rights as them later? Then you better uphold what you expected to have and not just push it away because in this moment, it seems easier to not look at someone, not to witness what is happening to somebody else. So do the hard work and look.
Yeah, conservative Bob texting me from the 414 said this: I hope all the illegal gang members end up in your neighborhood. And I responded to him and thank you, conservative Bob, for your text. I responded and said, I'm sure there are people that have committed crimes, potentially serious crimes, that are here legally that live in my neighborhood. I live in an incredibly densely populated area of Milwaukee's East Side. And yet, I will consistently argue for their civil rights and their due process rights.
Yes.
Because we only can stand and call America great to be a shining city on the hill when we defend those rights for the most troubling individuals in our society. For, if you want to call folks despicable, conservative Bob, yes, because it is the rights of the least of us.
Yes.
That are the easiest to abuse, and yet is the rights of the least of us that define the rights for all of us. That is why that is why the Constitution refers to persons, right? Not citizens when it comes to many of these inalienable rights. I mean, let me ask some of our listeners right now. We look at the case of Mahmoud Khalil, the Columbia University graduate who is a legal permanent resident who was picked up and held without being able to have a confidential conversation with his lawyer for days. I ask you, if you are accused of a crime in the future, is it your expectation that you will be able to talk to your lawyer confidentially to be able to exercise your right to counsel? And if you think you would be entitled to that, what do you say to Mahmoud? It's we're in a very precarious time, and I think getting past our more reptilian brain desires to get into our tribes, to get into our camps and point at the other folks, it's the time for us to try to have conversations, to try to see ourselves in others. Dr. Brennan, let's turn again back to this election coming up on April 1st. Coming from a civil liberties perspective, what do you want voters to know about the election? I know you noted this in our first segment, but as we come up on the end here, what is the, if you had to distill it down to one or two things that you want voters to remember when they go into the voting booths from now until April 1st, what are those things?
That's pretty easy for me. I'm sharing with your team and I'm happy to have people do a search later, but you can just take a look at our website, Supreme Court Wisconsin Candidate Questionnaire, and you will see questions that we sent to both candidates at exactly the same time, waited for responses at exactly the same time, and you can visit what those responses are, read them with your own eyes, and make an informed decision. Here's the thing that we want. We want folks to make informed decisions. We want them to make decisions based on factual information. And to your earlier points, it is always the least of us in any society, those that are most precarious and those that we would put on the outside and say they are not us. The treatment of whomever that is at any time in any culture, that defines what that culture is. And so a lot of people's idea of what America can be is dependent on rights that have to be accessible by all. And it means by all. And so I will say a slogan of the ACLU that before I even knew what the ACLU was, I heard the slogan. And unfortunately, in this moment, it rings even more true. Dissent is patriotic.
And dissent is patriotic.
And you better be able to tolerate somebody else's opinion. And so if we're talking about our local moment in Wisconsin, the Supreme Court election, if you care about labor rights, if you care about abortion or reproductive health care, if you care about things that make our quality of life better, and you need to get educated and you need to show up on or before April 1st.
Thanks so much. That's Dr. Melinda Brennan, Executive Director of the ACLU in Wisconsin. We're going to put the link to those questionnaires. You get the full unedited responses of the two candidates for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. You want unbiased? Go read what they wrote in their own words about your civil rights. Will they be coming for you or your family next. We continue this fine discussion, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. If you're on the line, stay there. We're going to the text lines and the phone lines next as we continue this incredibly important discussion right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Well, just as soon as Mother Nature allows, a lot of folks that own livestock want to put them out on pasture. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Wednesday. But if you're a horse owner, you might want to tap the brakes a little bit. That's the advice of Dr. Howard Kettover. He's an equine veterinarian on staff at Iron Gate Clinic in the Madison area. And he said horses need to transition to that pasture slowly.
During the wintertime, when they're on hays, stored hay in this area, the microbes tend to be more productive and more efficient. And they make a lot more volatile fatty acid or energy for the horse to then digest and utilize. And if we take that same microbe population and put it out on fresh grass, they're still going to be very efficient and they will overproduce those volatile fatty acids. And the horse's system can't quite handle that as efficiently. So if we slowly acclimate those horses out to the green grasses and the summer grazing, it allows that microbe population to shift to become less efficient. It's easier on the horse's GI tract.
Green grasses. We're all looking forward to that. Horses or not, that's Dr. Howard Kettover from the Iron Gate Clinic in the Madison area, an equine veterinarian. He also reminds people that have their horses boarded somewhere else, make sure you're having a conversation with those boarding facilities on what their plan is for transitioning to spring.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
Looking to grow new ideas for your farm? Then visit the WPS Farm Show. For 63 years, farmers have been coming to the show for the latest in farm equipment, services, and technology to boost their business. Don't miss this year's show, filled with ideas to help you grow. Mark your calendar for April 1st through the 3rd at the EAA grounds in Oshkosh. For more information and a full list of exhibitors, visit wisconsinpublicservice.com.
And despite some staffing cuts, the Natural Resource Conservation Service wants you to know they're still there to help with springtime conservation projects. They are going to be working with University of Wisconsin-Madison Extension Department of Forestry, hosting three virtual webinars inviting new and prospective landowners to connect on conservation practices. The series is called Getting Started with Stewardship. They're going to run from 7 until 8 p.m. August 8th, 15th, and 22nd. Find details on how to register on our website, MidwestFarmReport.com. That's a quick update on food news for Wednesday. I'm PM Yonke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
A winter weather advisory is in effect this afternoon as rain mixes with sleet and flips to all snow. It could be heavy at times with winds whipping up to 45 miles per hour, creating whiteout conditions and power outages possible. And about 2 to 4 inches of snow accumulation looks likely. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 35.
The Todd Alba Show.
Many of the supporters of Trump voted on good faith and said, look, he says some crazy things, but you know what? He at least is telling me he's going to help my family and bring down the price on my heating bill. And that ain't what they're getting. What they're getting back is a political middle finger. And we're staring a recession straight in the face. And Donald Trump does not care. Because at the end of the day, this was one big grift.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Yo, I'm your old basketball. Haven't seen you out on the courts in a while. Why not pass me over to Goodwill? Donating me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. And that's a slam dunk. Donate today. Hey, I got next.
To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission,
please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bock.
Coming up on the show, can the Trump administration impeach judges who don't do what they want? Jim Santel will answer those questions and more, plus sports and weather. Do not miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I want to thank you all for hanging with us this afternoon. We usually start out with little Greg Gunderson for what's going on in your neck of the woods. Then we bring on Jeremy Janine from Urban Milwaukee. We talk about Milwaukee as a microcosm for the state. We're going to have Jeremy on at 2:50, but because of the importance of this topic, I wanted to again have Dr. Brennan on. Our great thanks to the ACLU of Wisconsin, and continue this discussion with each and every one of you. It's just so critically important what is going on this in these past days. Wanted to take some of the texts. We've got Mark from Prairie du Sac, again, making the point that the Constitution, the Fourth, Fifth, and Sixth Amendment, which includes due process, rights against search and unauthorized searches and seizures, these apply to persons, not citizens. The point that Dr. Brennan was making is there's a reason that the framers wrote it that way. And that's because due process is an essential element to the dignity of every human being. Because if we don't have that, in a case of mistaken identity or a system of laws that no longer exist to bind the governed, but to punish political enemies, that system of laws, whether by mistake or intention, perverted to target you, would mean that you could be rounded up, again, perhaps a mistake, and deported out of this country before anyone knew you were gone. Disappearing people and taking them, you know, abroad is bad. Can we just, that's why the framers enshrined due process? Because it's essential for human dignity. I'll get to more on the Alien Enemies Act in a second. I want to get through some really critical texts. Wes from Middleton, thank you so much, Wes, sharing this with us. The deported woman from Milwaukee was actually born in Thailand. Thank you for the fact check, Wes. Yep, I get things wrong. You're welcome to correct me. We'll get them right. Which makes the deportation to Laos more egregious. I worry for my mom, Wes writes, who holds a green card and is a UK citizen. She's traveling internationally in a few months. Will she get detained at the border? Question mark. Who freaking knows, Wes? The chaos itself is cruel. The lawlessness is cruel. There's a fairly famous Canadian actress who's trying to come in the United States to see maybe about a job, which would have then, you know, led to her applying for a work visa, et cetera, et cetera. She was arrested at the Canadian border. She hadn't even gotten into the United States, was seeking to enter the United States, got pulled over, shackled, put in a prison van, sent to a prison, and was there for 12 days. She hadn't even gotten here yet. Hadn't committed any crime. She's like, hey, don't let me in. I'll just go home. No, we're going to put you in chains, lock you up, and put you in prison for 12 days. And I'd imagine a beautiful actress from Canada that's been in some feature films probably has access to really good legal help. You know, has some coinage in the bank. What if you don't? It's not the way a legal system is supposed to work. Wes continues, my 90-year-old grandparents are legal permanent residents on green cards. My grandfather is a retired professor. If somebody doesn't like his ideas, are they going to be disappeared? We are on a terrifying trajectory. Yes, Wes, we are. And we need people who voted for Trump to say, listen, we're for securing the border. Yes, we think there should be more deportations. By the way, Joe Biden averaged a higher monthly number of deportations than Donald Trump has in these first weeks. Fact. This is a law professor. His name is Jamal Green at Columbia University. Quote, if anyone is being detained or removed based on the administration's assertion that it can do so without judicial review or due process, the president has asserted dictatorial power and we have a constitutional crisis. Azeez Huq, a law professor at the University of Chicago, very conservative institution, said, we're moving into a completely different kind of constitutional order, one that's no longer characterized by laws that bind officials and can be enforced. The law, in other words, becomes a tool to harm political enemies, but not bind those who govern. That is quite a different constitutional order. Say what? We got a listener texting in from WGBW. Their family relocated from Chile to Panama. And they came over at 18 to the United States to ensure that they never experienced the instability and uncertainty of Chile and Panama. The listener writes, it's heartbreaking to see my son, an American-born citizen, having to experience exactly what I left behind. Brian from Milwaukee, thank you for hosting the ACLU Wisconsin on your show. They are amazing at what they do. Thank you, Brian. Jordan from Madison, I'd like to ask your guest if there is any plan to host legal observer trainings in the state anytime soon. I'm going to do one right now. PSA, everybody. You know someone who might be here illegally. You tell them they do not need to open their door and admit federal agents unless they have a judicially signed warrant. Those are your magic words, lady. They'll say, I have an immigration warrant. That's nice. Do you have a judicial warrant, a warrant signed by a judge or magistrate? If not, you cannot enter my property. They're in a church. They're in a school. They're in a medical center. Tell your medical providers that. Tell your clergy persons that. Do you have a judicial warrant? Do you have a warrant signed by a judge? No? Go buzz off. You're driving a car. You get pulled over by ICE agents. They ask to be, you know, people to get out of the car because they've got an immigration warrant. No. Do you have a judicial warrant? Jordan, I got you covered right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Jordan also shared with us a posting for the ACO Legal Observer Training. We're going to put that in our show notes for today. You can find show notes at civicmedia.us/shows. A conservative Bob wrote back this. He was saying, wait until you've got illegal gang members in your neighborhood. And I said, if you want to call people despicable, even despicable people in this country are entitled to due process. Conservative Bob wrote back, I think Lake and Riley's parents might disagree with you on that one. They might. It doesn't make them right. I mourn their devastating loss. I condemn the man who committed that heinous crime. Yes, he should be deported, but he should be deported and imprisoned awaiting deportation with due process. We can have justice. We can secure our borders and have due process and be the shining city on the hill. We do not need to degrade ourselves and our most closely held American values to secure ourselves. Our choices aren't security and safety or fascism. Excuse me, I said that wrong. Our choices aren't security, safety, fascism on one hand, and complete criminal chaos and civil rights on the other. Those aren't our choices. The people that are telling you that those are our choices are manipulating you. We can be safe. We can secure our borders. We can have safe communities. We can prosecute those who commit crimes. We can do all of that and uphold basic human civil rights. Anyone that offers you anything else is a liar and a manipulator. The easiest thing to do is prey on someone's fears and to say, give away your privacy and your civil rights and I will make you safe. That is the ploy of every fascist and dictator in history. Ken from Mount Horeb sharing a bit of breaking news. We've got pea-sized hail falling in Mount Horeb. Everybody be careful if you are in that neck of the woods. We've got Charles from Milwaukee. Charles, go ahead, sir. Thank you for your patience.
Hey, good afternoon, Maggie. My concern is, you know, I hear the conservative people saying that the Democrats are wanting gang members here and people that are committing crimes. No, that's not the case. But we know that if they can just round up people and just say, well, this person is a gang member without doing any investigation, what stops them from rounding up young black men in communities? Because in saying, well, we thought you guys were out looking to steal cars or to rob somebody.
There's nothing, Charles. That's the point. First, they came for the socialists, and I said nothing because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the unionists, and I said nothing because I wasn't a unionist. Then they came for the communists. I said nothing because I wasn't a communist. Then they came for the Jews, and I said nothing because I wasn't a Jew. And then they came for me, and there was no one to speak for me. I implore people, if you voted for Trump, then out of perhaps nothing more than rabid self-interest, stand up to this kind of thuggery. It's not okay. In 1967, a case involving Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the Supreme Court ruled that he and many of his colleagues were not entitled to test the constitutionality of a legally questionable court order barring them from demonstrating by marching in Birmingham, Alabama. So a judge made a wrong ruling, said you can't do this. The Supreme Court said, you got to follow the court order. If we're going to compel and prevent Dr. King from marching and exercising his First Amendment right, because you have to follow court orders, King Donald doesn't have to follow court orders. The third plane took off, ladies and gentlemen, after the court's order had been entered on the docket. That plane was on U.S. land, not in airspace because it was on the ground. And the Trump administration violated the order. To what consequence? Does it matter? In that case involving Dr. King, here's what Justice Potter Stewart wrote. In the fair administration of justice, no man can be judge of his own case, however exalted his station, however righteous his motives. And yet, Justice Department lawyers just this week filing paperwork seeking to strip and remove the case from the judge overseeing the Alien Enemies Act Venezuelan migrant case wrote this in a brief. The presidential actions being challenged are not subject to judicial review. Of course they are. Are we a country of laws? Mark from Prairie du Sac reminding us, the guy who murdered Lake and Riley just happened to be an undocumented immigrant. There are plenty of Americans that have committed similar crimes. Yep. And we don't strip them of due process rights. Jack from Merrimack, thanks for your patience, sir. What do you have for us?
Well, first of all, you took a lot of my thunder when you opened up this segment. But I wanted to say that it's fairly clear that the Founding Fathers took a lot of thought in writing our Constitution, and when they put in citizens, they had specific duties and freedoms in mind. And also, when they put in the term person,
yes,
they purposely, intentionally, did not limit it to citizens.
Yes, our founding fathers that the right loves to exalt made sure that these protections, due process, the Fourth, Fifth, and Sixth Amendments, they all apply to persons, not just citizens. Do we live our values or just talk about them? We're going to come back with a couple of leaders of Democratic parties in red counties in the state of Wisconsin. I'm so excited because what can you do about it? That comes up next right here.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
1849, ban on abortions. Which, by the way, what is squat about that bill?
The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
What is squat about that bill?
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
What is squat about that bill?
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin's Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
Celebrate the women who have helped shape the world as we honor Women's History Month with powerful stories of Wisconsin's own. We remember the important work of Carrie Morgan. She became a pivotal figure in education in the Appleton area during the late 1800s and was elected superintendent of schools in 1894. Morgan believed in the importance of early childhood learning and took the bold step to establish a kindergarten program. Her forward thinking also laid the foundation for a school dedicated to deaf and handicapped students. She believed every child, regardless of abilities, should have access to education. These efforts set the stage for programs still in use today. Morgan Alley in downtown Appleton was named in her honor in 2019. Her legacy reminds us all of the power to be inclusive and innovative. We recognize the powerful women from the past and those who are still writing their own history today. I'm Amanda Nimmer.
Eagle 1490 AM.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. We got a bit of a special lineup given all of the current events happening this week, but we do have time for an update from our good friend Jeremy Janine of Urban Milwaukee. There has been some movement, some updates regarding the lead in schools in the Milwaukee public school system, which is, as this segment is titled, Milwaukee is a microcosm. As goes Milwaukee, so goes the state. If you have buildings older than 1978 that your kids are getting educated in, no matter where your school system is in the state, you may have a lead problem as well. Thanks so much for your patience, Jeremy. What is the most recent lead update from MPS?
I wish I had good news to share, but the school district has closed, with the guidance of the health department, three more schools. So that brings up four schools that it's closed. And beware of journalists doing math. I think seven schools that it's identified with significant lead hazards that need abatements. And to your comment about the 1978, don't just apply that to schools. Think about your house as well. There are straightforward things you can do to prevent lead dust from spreading. That is, if you see bubbling paint, make sure you're treating that appropriately. If you have windows that are painted, especially old windows, be careful about those. That's a common source of lead dust.
There has been some public free lead testing available. How is that going in the city? Where can people go to get that done? What are those facts?
The first step for anyone in Wisconsin that's at all concerned about lead poisoning, call your doctor, call your pediatrician. It should be covered by your insurance to get a lead test. It is a very simple blood draw in your finger. The first test for the families of these seven schools, or not the first clinic for the families of these seven schools, took place Saturday. Somewhere around 250 staff members and students showed up to get tested. The health department has yet to release specific data about how many elevated blood lead level cases they found.
Pretty outstanding numbers. What has MPS or the health department said? Like, what are they doing next? Are they indicating if they are testing at other schools? What are they doing additional remediation? Like, what's the plan?
There is a big money component to this, and that is going in and swabbing different areas to, you know, more than 100 spots to figure out if there's lead dust. That gets expensive. So after the first couple schools where there were known children with lead poisoning, they went in and did this expensive examination. Then they switched to just doing visual assessments. And you would think that they would walk into schools and go, okay, this actually looks pretty good. You're following your practices. But no, just like what happened in Bayview, a second Bayview school, they walked into and found, oh, there's obvious hazards here. Same thing with Starms and La Follette on the north side of the city. Obvious lead hazards that were visible to the naked eye.
Absolutely remarkable. Jeremy, where can people find your reporting and more information, especially those who may have children in the MPS school system?
You can find my reporting at urbanmilwaukee.com. And if you are concerned about your child testing positive for lead in Milwaukee, you can go to milwaukee.gov/health for a whole slew of information about clinics and schools.
That's great, folks. I'm joined this afternoon by Jeremy Janine of Urban Milwaukee, one of our treasures here in southeastern Wisconsin, to know what is happening inside of our school systems and with our local government. I wanted to ask you very briefly, since we've got some time, Milwaukee County's population actually grew in this last census for the first time in a decade. How is the state's population doing? Are we seeing growth in other areas? What's driving that growth? What drove the growth in Milwaukee County?
I'm going to try and quickly pull up my article because I can cite specific figures. But in Milwaukee, the Milwaukee, Waukesha, West Allis metro area, and that's a 3 or 4 county area defined by the Census Bureau, we saw a growth of about 0.3%. Statewide, though, the story is better, about 0.5% growth. But we did see 16 of the 72 counties, and by and large smaller ones, actually lost population year over year. But for Milwaukee, it's a big deal to actually see growth occurring.
Yeah, I was part of the county's independent redistricting committee following the census in 2020. And it's always a really important thing for local leaders to look at. Where are we seeing population growth, or are we seeing population decline? We were talking about it a bit in the first half hour with Dr. Melinda Brennan from the ACLU, that growing populations are generally considered good, that we need more people, especially here in the state of Wisconsin. We've suffered over the last 25 years from pretty persistent brain drain, especially in Milwaukee and some of the larger counties. And again, Jeremy, where can people find this reporting, both on the population expansion and on the lead testing in MPS schools?
At urbanmilwaukee.com.
Fabulous, folks. That's Jeremy Janine of Urban Milwaukee. Last but not least, I thought this was a little tidbit that I thought was pretty fascinating. Construction is underway for the tallest timber building in the Western Hemisphere, which is going to eclipse another Milwaukee world record holder. What's going on here, Jeremy?
We have a Madison company building a building that's probably, by the time all said and done, it's going to be 31 stories and about $200 million in Milwaukee. This gets oddly old. To follow me here a little bit, Milwaukee has the record holder, world record holder, for what's called mass timber. And that's a man-made product combining layers of lumber together. There's a building in Australia that's going to break the world record. But this new building coming in Milwaukee will beat the current world record holder here, will not beat the Australia building, but will be the tallest building of this kind.
In the Western Hemisphere.
Yes.
I love all of these important factoids about what's going on here in Milwaukee as a microcosm for the state. My thanks to Jeremy Janine. Keep it locked, folks. If you're wondering how to get activated, what to do if you're concerned about some of Donald Trump's and our billionaire overlords' actions, we've got three female leaders of Democratic parties from red counties in the state of Wisconsin. Let's get together and do something about it, shall we? Keep it locked right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. News, weather, and sports are next. And then we'll be back with those three fabulous women for today's episode of Broad Appeal.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Bosch legacy actor Scott Clace to the show. Then Nightlight pal and Madison film critic Rob Thomas joins the show and gives us some fantastic recommendations. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President Trump spoke with Ukraine's President Zelensky. Comes a day after the president held a call with Russia's leader, where Vladimir Putin has pledged a 30-day pause on striking Ukraine's energy and infrastructure. At today's briefing, Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt has more on the talks with Zelensky.
President Trump also discussed Ukraine's electrical supply and nuclear power plants. He said that the United States could be very helpful in running those plants with its electricity and utility expertise. American ownership of those plants would be the best protection for that infrastructure and support for Ukrainian energy infrastructure.
The NTSB issuing a preliminary report today on the commuter plane in Alaska that crashed last month on sea ice, killing all 10 on board. Investigators say the plane was a half a ton overweight for the weather conditions. Several states in the Midwest under tornado watches and blizzard alerts as a powerful storm moves through, and the fire danger continues across the plains and south. This is ABC News.